Praise the Lord. If you could stand to your feet, I'm so thankful to be in the presence of the Lord today. Come on, why don't we just begin to uplift Him with some praise and some worship in this place. God, You've been so faithful to us. You've been so good, and we've come to magnify Your name.
I've got a reason to praise Him like my feet.
Everybody say,
if you think that I'm being too loud, you ain't seen nothing yet.
If you think I'm undignified,
if you think I'm undignified now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I will dance, I will run.
I will dance, I will run, I will shout, shout till there's nothing left.
I'm gonna praise you.
I will praise you with all that I have.
I praise till there's nothing left.
Praise till there's nothing left.
I praise till there's nothing left.
Praise till there's nothing left.
I praise till there's nothing left.
Praise till there's nothing left.
Something got a hold of me.
That's why I dance like it's my last breath. I have been set free.
Oh,
and I will shout till I'm out of breath. I'll be the first to tell you I don't know how to explain how it changed my life. But when Jesus came in, something got a hold of me.
If you think that I'm being too loud, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. If you think I'm undignified now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Everybody say,
if you think that I'm being too loud, you ain't seen nothing yet.
If you think I'm undignified,
if you think I'm undignified now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I will dance, I will run.
I will dance, I will run. I will shout, shout till there's nothing left.
I'm gonna praise you, God.
I will praise you with all that I have. Praise till there's nothing left.
I'll praise till there's nothing left.
Praise till there's nothing left.
I praise you, I praise you.
And praise till there's nothing left.
Cause something got a hold of me. Yeah.
It's my dance like it's my last chance. Oh. I have been set free.
And I will shout till I'm out of breath.
And I will shout till I'm out of breath.
I'll be the
first to tell you I don't know how to explain how it changed my life. But when Jesus came in, something got a hold of me.
Come on, if you're thankful for that experience today, why don't you just continue to praise Him? If you're thankful that the love of God met you right where you were. Oh God, you've been so good to us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. not afraid to say I don't know. And what I should do, how this will unfold. So many mysteries, but we have history. So I remind my soul, nobody else can love me like you. You're the only one that can do what no other God can. You are holy, holy, and nobody else can be who you are. Stand alone and I stand in awe of your matchless power. You are holy, 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 only God. Every day walking alone, you gave me a key hidden in the name I can call on. Jesus, my everything, you still make room for.
Power, you are holy, holy, holy.
Everybody, let's just magnify the name of the Lord Jesus. We love you, oh God. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy, Lord Jesus. I just feel that it's in order to read the book of Psalms, chapter 16, and verse 11 reads like this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy.
Yes.
And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I wanted to know what joy meant, because in our mindset, we think joy is just a moment. It is a moment of elation because of something good is happening. But real joy means this. It is inseparable from covenant faithfulness.
Yes.
It is strength regardless of outward circumstances.
Right.
Oh my God, I feel the Lord in this house. It is strength in spite of the problems you're facing.
That's right.
It is knowing that God is in control no matter what. And in His presence there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand, pleasures. That means God has your best interest in mind.
Right.
So right now, I want you to either grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate, or put your hand on their shoulder. But I want you to pray in the name. I want you to pray like you want it. Pray that God will restore their joy. Come on, lift your voice right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, you've given us joy unspeakable and full of glory, but now, oh God, here, regardless of the circumstance, I know you know where I'm at. Come on, pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let joy come in the house. Let the peace of God come right now in this very room. Let healing come right now in this very room. In the name of Jesus, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. God, we claim the joy that is in the Holy Ghost. We claim your peace right now. Lord, you know the way that I take. Oh, you are holy, Lord Jesus. Now clap your hands and let's celebrate in that very moment. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn around now, give a high five to somebody. Say, joy is coming. In His presence. And we are in the presence of God.
Yes.
Can you feel the presence of God here today? My, what an awesome presence of God is here. First of all, I want to thank each of you for your prayers. I think I'm 1 week and 2 days out of surgery, so I appreciate all your prayers and the kindness. Keep bringing food over, trying to fatten me up. I'm still able to button my suit coat. Yeah. I'd run on that one, but I can't. So thank you for your kindness. There are many needs. There's many situations. There's many battling sicknesses, and we need the hand of God to move. There was a situation in Nam. I don't know if I can tell all of it, but, well, I've already started. And you can't really say anything because I'm your father-in-law. I know he's sitting down, but we're almost eye level, which really bothers me, but whatever. Yesterday evening, his father was crushed by a 500-pound bale of hay. Broken vertebrae, broken spine in various regions. Broke his back. He
was rushed to the hospital and then not taken on up to ProMedica. And they were certain that today they would be doing surgery to replace or repair or fuse together. But as of right now, the doctor said there's no need for surgery. Your spine is going to fuse itself.
I told you this is going to be the year of miracles.
Yes, yes.
You need a miracle in your body. Today's a good day. You need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Today's a good day. And God's not done yet. Come on, let's celebrate it. God is not done yet. Somebody shout yes. We are going to pray for these needs. We're going to pray that God will continue to work the way He works. Got a few announcements to make, and that is tomorrow night is Ladies' Prayer, to which we are grateful for. We are a praying church. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We believe in fasting around here. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow night, Ladies' Prayer at 7. Tuesday is Men's Prayer at 7. This Friday, the young people would normally be praying, but they are going to be going to Midwinter Youth Retreat and worshiping with 2,000 to 3,000 other young people.
Amen.
We're grateful for that.
Amen.
Apparently, though, you need to be here at 2:30 dressed and ready for church. If you've got questions, see the youth team. Also, on Friday, Thursday and Friday, there was an unfortunate situation, and many of us know Ada Mavis. She had passed away last week. And we want to pray for her and her family, but the church will be hosting her visitation here Thursday evening from 5 to 7. And then her funeral will be at 11 o'clock here at the church. So we want to, if you're able to come to one of those time slots, it would greatly be appreciated, I'm sure, by her family. Amen. And we want to pray that the peace of God will cover them in these coming days. Amen. Also, everybody say March 15th.
March 15th.
You don't want to miss March the 15th. It's a Sunday. It's a special day. It's the day before my wife's circle around the sun again. But March the 15th, we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival here with Reverend David Smith. He'll be preaching. Some of you don't know him. Some of you don't. But I'm going to tell you, if you need a miracle, this man has great faith.
Yes.
If you don't believe me, just type in David Smith on YouTube. He's a Cajun. He talks like he's a Cajun. He's from the South. I love that. I tried translating for him in Spanish a couple times when he preached for us in our Spanish church. And it's hard to translate that you need a checkup from the neck up. But it works. He came one time and he said, how many need the Holy Ghost today? I said, well, there's about 10 of them that do. And he said, how many do you want to get? I said, well, all 10 would be good. And before we left that service, all 10 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. March 15th. If you need a miracle, come that day. Invite your friend. Matter of fact, we had one get the Holy Ghost last Saturday night.
Yes,
I'm excited about
yes.
that. Praise God. We're going to pray right now. Lord Jesus, you are in this very room. In the name of Jesus, every need, every situation, it must come subject to your name, O Lord. I'm praying healing right now. I'm praying strength and your peace, O God. Make up the difference where we lack, O Lord Jesus. Every need, God, I pray right now a complete miracle, and we give you praise for what you've done so far, but you're not done yet. Lord God, in this very room there's needs, and I'm praying in Jesus' name right now that you will manifest your power and that you will touch us, oh God. We give you honor, we give you praise. Will our ushers come and receive our morning tithes and offerings? Do we got ushers out here? Yeah, we do. We got them. Dynamic duo. Amen. Come and give as unto the Lord. Take about 30 seconds, a few minutes or so, and tell somebody how glad you are to see him today. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Let's worship the Lord. We're excited about our choir that's going to be singing today.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How many are you happy to be in the house of God today? I feel such liberty in the spirit right now. I feel like we're in an atmosphere where God can do anything. Won't we give God one more hand clap of praise for his presence, what he's doing? So today I got something quick and short. Out of Nehemiah 8, verses 9 through 10. And it says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the song we're going to be singing, is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And as Pastor told you guys this morning, that I got a phone call I wasn't expecting last night. I was actually preparing for this. This little intro before the song. And my aunt, she called me. She said, first thing she said to me is, hey, Nam, don't worry. And I was like, what do you mean? That makes me want to worry, just you saying that. Like, what's going on? What's happening? And she said, okay, your dad, he broke his neck and he broke his back, and it was a freak accident. He was loading a hay bale into, we have cattle, he was feeding our cattle, and he was lifted up the bucket, it was 10 feet in the air, and the hay bale, it's a big, big round bale, if any of you farmers in here, if you try moving that thing, you can't pick it up. I mean, that thing's at least 500 pounds. It's a miracle
that he's still here today.
Right.
And through prayer, I was just feeling in my spirit that we have something so amazing, that we have a God.
Yes.
The only divine, true, the only wise God who is good. And he's merciful, and he sees us where we're at. He touches every need, and he sees us where we are right now. And as I was preparing for this, the last thing I wrote in my notes, literally as I was writing this, I said, and the joy that we feel, or I feel through tough times, is that he is God.
Right.
And that he has the final say.
Yes.
So the joy that I have and the joy that you can have today is resting assured that he is God.
Yes.
And he is God alone. He knows what you're going through. He knows every situation. And I can't help but praise that it was a miracle that he's alive. But as me and Cole, we got to praying after we heard that phone call. And I got a phone call this morning that my dad, he doesn't even need surgery.
Right.
God healed his body. If you need a healing, I have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have joy that God is a healer. I have joy that God is a miracle worker. The joy of the Lord, that I can rest assured that he is God and he sees me. So as we sing this song, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right.
Come on and sing with us.
I've got the joy, I've got the joy. I've got a river that's flowing inside. It's full of life, it's ever growing. I've got a fire and it's always there. It won't go out, it's always burning. You've given me joy. It's unspeakable joy, undeniable, unexplainable. I've got the joy of the Lord. Sing, I've got a river.
I've got a river that's flowing inside.
It's full of life.
It's full of life.
It's ever growing.
It's ever growing.
I've got a fire.
I've got a fire and it's always there.
It won't go out.
It won't go out.
It's ever growing.
It's always burning.
Cause I've got joy on the inside. It feels like fire can keep it in. And I'll keep praising in the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Whoa.
I've got joy on the inside.
It feels like fire.
It feels like fire can't keep it in.
So I'll keep praising the Lord.
In the midnight.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Who's got joy in this place? I've got joy.
I've got joy on the inside.
And it feels like
it
fire.
It feels like fire. Can't keep it in.
So I'll keep praising,
In the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
One more time. I've got joy.
I've got joy on the inside.
It feels like
it
fire.
It feels like fire. Can't keep it in.
So I'll keep praising,
In the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my
strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my
strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah. Cause I've got a river that's flowing inside.
got a fire and it's always there. It won't go out. It's always burning.
You've given me joy.
It's unspeakable joy.
Undeniable, unexplainable.
I've got the joy.
Down in my heart.
Deep down in my soul.
It's uncontainable.
I've got the joy on the inside. It feels like fire, can't keep it in. I keep praising in the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Sing, I've got joy.
I've got joy on the inside.
It feels like fire.
Feels like fire, can't keep it in.
So I'll keep praising.
I keep praising in the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your joy. Oh, I trust you, God. We used to sing it like this. I'm trading my sorrow, my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Hey. Come on, can we just testify today? Sing it.
I'm trading my sickness. Oh, I'm trading my pain. Oh, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Come on, help us sing.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Cause
I've got joy on the inside. It feels like fire can't keep it in. I'll keep praising in the midnight. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I've got joy
on the inside.
I can't keep it in, so I'll keep praising in the midnight.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Come on, how many feel the strength of the Lord in this place? It doesn't matter your need, there's strength available. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you provide strength in our moments of weakness and our moments where we don't understand. God, you are a good God. Come on, how many know that God is always on time? There's never been a moment where he's forsaken us. We're thankful for your presence, God.
And I remember how you provided, how you held me through the night. And I remember how you sustained me when you stepped in to save my life. And if I knew then what I know now, I would. how you carry when I couldn't take a step. And I remember, oh, how you loved me when I couldn't love myself.
Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You
there.
You were right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, if we were just real with ourselves this morning, we would realize and understand that none of us thought that we were going to be where we are today. But thankfully, because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord, that when we did have those times where it seemed like we were walking through the fire, He was that fourth man in the fire with us. When we were on the storms of life, He was right there to help us through it. I'm talking about an on-time God. A God that's always been with us. A God that has never failed us. Never let us down. He deserves the praise. He deserves the praise. He deserves the praise. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I never want to get to a place in my walk with God to where my praise becomes business as usual.
Right.
It becomes mundane and I become comfortable with my praise. Time has a way of just making us kind of just settle in and just enjoy the ride. But where the Lord is trying to take His church, we cannot afford just to sit back and feel comfortable until we exit glory. He's calling on a church that's going to be a church that worships. Even when times are tough, they still find enough strength to lift up their voice and to give Him praise and to give Him thanks. Don't forget what He's done for you. Don't forget how He's brought you out. You should have been dead in a gutter somewhere. But thankfully, He's picked us up. He's turned us around. He set our feet on sure, solid ground. That's my God. That's my God. Ah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel such a strong presence of the Lord in this place this morning. And I thoroughly enjoy being here with you, to worship with you. Not just minister, but to worship with you. Amen. I've been to a lot of churches, and I pastor a church in Mount Vernon, Ohio here, but when you come into a place and you feel the spirit of worship established, it gives you great hope. God's still moving. He's still working. He's still changing lives. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Music, worship team, and my goodness, the choir. Amen. What a blessing. You are a blessed church. You are a blessed church. And I wish that I could just get up here and grab a microphone and sing like I seen those boys in the front here sing. I say boys, young man, sorry. My word, but that is not my gift or my calling, but we are still called to be worshipers. So I'm very thankful to be in a church that believes in the power of prayer, believes in the spirit of worship. Thankful for your pastor, thankful for his family, the first lady of your church. So very blessed and honored to have known them for many, many years. Seems like eternity sometimes. We give each other a hard time, more so than not. And if you've been here for any length of time, you know the heart of your pastor is to protect your soul and to get you through those gates so you can see Him. You can see the Lord face to face someday. But you also know of His humor, and you know that He likes to have fun and He likes to joke around and he likes to laugh. Sometimes, you know, when we joke around, it's at my expense because I probably deserve it or did something. Amen. But today, I forgot my dress shirt. And my wife said, I wondered why that was laying on the bed. I forgot to bring it. So he had a shirt that I could use of his own. Now, don't mind if I don't take my suit jacket off because the sleeves are probably up to here right now. I think he did that on purpose. I really do. I do. But I love the Clutters. I love them so much. And he's been such an inspiration and a voice in my life. And I can honestly tell you that he has a love and passion for Archbold and for Turning Point. Amen. Amen. I'll try not to be one of those long-winded introductory preachers that come up here. So let's get right into the Word. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. I'm going to read three portions of Scripture. And I feel like this is a message that the Lord wants us to hear. It's a message that I believe is a positive message. It's an encouraging message, but a message nonetheless that we need to hear and need to be reminded of, especially going into 2026. Hey, folks, it's February the 1st. I mean, we've already seen January come and go. We're 2 months in. We're 2 months in. The church has a lot of work to do. In 2026, we can see the news and read the articles, and we know the tension that's in the air. But I promise you, there is something different that is also stirring in the air, stirring amongst the people of God and the churches. And I feel there's a spirit of revival that is blowing over the church of the living God. And I believe he's getting ready to do one quick and last and final work. And we've got to be ready. And we've got to make sure our calling and election is sure. God help us. God help us. Hebrews 6:19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Matthew 6:19. I'm just going to read these last couple portions of Scripture, and if you catch up, great. If not, I'm going to read it. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through, and yes, they steal. But lay up for yourselves, lay those things up, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor do we have to worry about them stealing. 1 Thessalonians, I'll end with this portion of Scripture, chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself, oh, here's the good news, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be forever with the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty. And it says, so even in 2026, as we see the unrest and the violence and the hatred, it leaves us with a mandate one another with these words. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got leaving on my mind. Lord, we ask you to bless this word. I pray that you would bless and anoint the remainder of the service. I pray there would be great impartation released here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. I pray you would revisit some things of old. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us stir those things back to life again. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us that encouraging word and speak to us like you've never spoken. And I pray you breathe on us like you've never breathed. And I pray you touch us like you've never touched us, God. Oh, move in this place here this morning, Lord. Oh, we ask these things in your precious and mighty and beautiful name. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. And I know my church says that I'm one that has a lot of closings. However, maybe if I start with my closing, it just will kind of seem a little shorter then, right? But man, look around. Look at the ground all around you. Aren't you thankful there's no snow in here? Praise God. The weather has been one that's been unpredictable, and needless to say, and it has caused at times churches to be canceled and what have you, but God is still going to have his church. Amen? He's still a good God, and he's got everything under control. Somebody needs to really embrace that this morning. Amen. There's a place in Spain where Christopher Columbus died in 1506, and I would try to pronounce the city name, but I know I would butcher it. But there stands a monument commemorating the great discoverer of that time. Perhaps the most interesting feature about that memorial is a statue of a lion destroying one of the Latin words that has been a part of Spain's motto for centuries. Before Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards thought that they had reached the outer limits as far as they possibly could to this planet. Thus, their motto was ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. The words now being torn away by this lion, the word that's being torn away out of that phrase, out of that statement, is just one of those words. And it is the word no, making now that Latin phrase to read plus ultra. Columbus had proven that there was indeed more beyond even what they thought and they imagined. I want to preach to us this morning on where are you anchored? Where are you anchored? Now, ancient anchors consisted of large stones, and sometimes these anchors were just baskets that were full of stones tossed over the side of the boat or the vessel so that it could maintain its position. And sometimes it was just sacks filled with sand or logs of wood loaded with lead or heavy metal or metallic material. And as ships became larger, they required a more effective type of anchor, a more effective device to hold them. And wooden hooks that dug into the sea bottom came onto the scene, and they started using things that could grip and make sure that they wouldn't be moved and make sure that they stayed on course. And then as time went on, the vessels began to be larger, and iron replaced wood in the construction of the anchor, and teeth or flukes were added to help the hooks dig into the bottom. And another major improvement was the addition of a stock or a horizontal arm that is set at right angles to the arms and flukes of the lower part of the anchor. In other words, they beefed it up. The stock ensures that the arms rest vertically on the seabed, and thus one fluke will dig itself in, providing maximum holding ability. This type, with its two flukes and its stock at right angles, remain the basic anchor for many centuries, even today. It is known as a stock anchor in the United States and as a fisherman's anchor in the United Kingdom. And just as in the days of Columbus, we have too been told the same thing as a people, as an individual, or maybe as naysayers come into your life and they say, there is nothing more beyond. This world says what you see is basically what you're going to get. Live a good life. Make the best of it. Try to fulfill your every dream and try to obtain your every want, because once you die, that's it. There is nothing more. There's nothing that you're going to obtain. You're just going to be gone. And just as the statue depicting that lion tearing away the word no, we too know of an individual. We know of one who still sits on the throne. And we too have the lion. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah that came to proclaim and declare that there is something more beyond just life itself, more beyond the grave, more beyond the tomb. Let me introduce you to the place that I'm referring to this morning. That is our blessed hope beyond death. It has been called many things, and only a few I will mention to save time, but this place has been called Glory Land. This place, we know it to be called as the Holy City, and we've also known it and we've sung about it to be Beulah Land. We know it to be paradise, and we know it to be the promised land, and we know it to be the new Jerusalem, and we know the celestial shore which should pull us towards this destination when we think about it each and every day. Even the descriptions that I just rattled off for you still does not do its justice, does not describe the beauty in its entirety. It cannot depict the splendor that awaits for us on the other side of this life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Is there anybody in this place that loves the Lord? Anybody, do you love him enough to start preparing some things in your life to make sure that you can worship him? Not just in his spirit here on earth, but face to face someday? Are you preparing yourself? It has been described as a distant country, a place where every heart should long for. Never has there been a place that has captivated the minds of people throughout all generations. Even those that we read about throughout Scripture even describes their hunger and their longing to be in that place with the Lord. Hebrews 11:13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and they were just pilgrims on earth. They were basically making a declaration. We haven't fully obtained our promises yet. You might be, oh man, they were men of faith, women of faith. Yeah, you bet. You better believe they were. And they received some pretty deep, long promises that God gave to them, each and every one of them. They walked in the blessings of the Lord. They walked in the promises. Some of them received promises that would just blow your mind. They had it good. But they said, We haven't even yet received our promise yet. I've just seen it from afar off. But I know there's coming a day. There's coming a day where I'm going to receive the promise that I've been longing for, that I've been preparing for. I've been to New York City. And to some, you might say it's a wonderful place. But not so much for me. And if you have an opinion to where you like it, that's fine. I like any place that serves good food. So I can find a place that I like that has good food anywhere I go, it seems. But some like the big city. Some like the large crowd. Some like that shopping experience, and nothing like the shopping experience, I guess, walking down the sidewalks of New York City during Christmas time or the holiday time where you see the festivities. I've been to Italy, and I've seen the history of Italy firsthand, and it is breathtaking. It is something that I hope to go back to someday because I felt like I couldn't fully take it in, and I just couldn't comprehend the beauty of the structures, and around every corner it seemed like there was these basilicas, which were huge constructed buildings that it just made me just perplexed and confused on how somebody hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago could build such magnificent structures. It took my breath away. It was so beautiful, the beauty of each historical landmark that was preserved, as each one of these historical sites had a story to be told. And I've seen the African plains. I was blessed to be there this past year, and I was there where the elephants and the lions and the hippos were in their cage-free natural habitat. And I stayed far away from that area. But the African sunset, I was given a hard time by Brother Robinette. He said, "Hey, did you get the right picture for the sunset, Brother Brady?" Because he saw how I was taking picture after picture after picture after picture, and he was giving me a hard time about it, because to me, it just seemed like there was nothing that could compare to that moment. That moment of the sunset on the African plains, it was beauty that I couldn't explain, I couldn't put into words, and I couldn't try to describe it to you in the right way and feel like I did you justice. You too, I know, have had moments that you were at a particular area or maybe historical site, or maybe it was just looking at the sun that was setting or the sun that was rising, and you took in that moment and you thought to yourself, man, this is something that I wish I could be a part of longer than just for this moment. And it's something that took your breath away. And church, I'm here today to remind you that there is no city, there is no historical site, there is no African sunset. Doesn't matter how beautiful it looks and how breathtaking it is, there is no breathtaking moment that can compare to our blessed promise and hope that is called heaven. There is nothing that compares to our time with eternity, with the one who shed his blood for you and me to redeem us, to give us hope, to wash us. There's nothing that can compare. Now, I'm going to go a little bit old school here, and maybe some of you younger people won't know these songs, and don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing them to you, but you know, there's sometimes I think that it's a scary conversation when you hear somebody say, "Hey, remember when we used to? Remember when brother so-and-so used to? Remember when sister so-and-so used to worship like that and she used to pray like that? Hey, remember when our young people used to pray like this and how we gathered in a circle all together? Remember the power of God that we used to feel? And hey, remember those moments when I went to the altar and God really got a hold of my life? Weren't those good moments? Remember how that used to look and how I used to feel? My goodness, it's time to stop those conversations. And it's time to stir up some dead things that you've allowed dormant in your life one day too long. It's time to get back in the presence of the Almighty. And it's time to have church like you used to have church. Worship like you used to worship. Praise Him like you used to praise Him. And truth be told, you're one praise away from your breakthrough. You're one shout away from your breakthrough. You're one lap away from your breakthrough. Let's not get comfortable on this place called earth, because I've got a blessed hope and I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Just as the song was written. Now, these are things that stirred us. These are songs that we sung. And when we sung them, we got just as excited as we see the young people get excited with these newer songs. Nothing wrong with those songs. I'll jump with them and I'll try to out-worship them every chance I can. But there are some songs that brought back some good meanings and memories in my life. In a church where there was orange pews and orange carpet and nasty colored wall paint and everything like that. If we looked at it today, we'd be like, oh my goodness. But back then, that was it. That was the end thing. And I'm telling you what, it was at those moments that I can recall where I used to kneel and pray. And I can recall preparing myself and getting lost in His presence. And I never want the church to become a place to where I can't get lost in His presence. And I can't have church like I used to have church. And I don't pray like I used to pray. God forbid we ever get to that moment and to that place. But I remember just as a young boy, I remember feeling the presence of the Lord move in that place because the song started to be sung about heaven, a place where we were getting ready to go, a place that we are getting ready to be with the Lord throughout all eternity. The song would go, I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions will never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all hopes renew. Now, to some, that don't seem like much. But if you think about those words, in which we did, we got just as excited and we stood and we jumped and we shouted because we sung about the promise that was to come. There's another one, a song, maybe y'all know this one. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. To that home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days, and then I will fly away to that land where joy shall never end. Oh, I'll fly away. See, when you hear it preached like that, it gets you on your feet and you get excited about it. Don't let heaven become a faint memory. Oh, what about, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. Come on, let me give you one more. In that city where the Lamb is the light, the city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there. And when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Are you going to that place? Is that where your heart is fixed? Is that where your mind is made up? Is that where your heart is anchored and your faith is compelled to pursue? The apostles ministered under the urgency to preach the gospel unto all, knowing that all have a chance to enjoy this place called heaven. Their efforts were relentless, and we read about their efforts throughout Scripture. Their dedication and their faithfulness was driven with godly fear. Oh, how we need that godly fear to creep back into the churches more. And their commitment was unwavering. Their voices still speak to us this morning as we read through the Holy Word of God, and as we read about their victories, and we read about even sometimes their insecurities, and we read about their failures and their persecution, and we read about their trials. And if you were to ask them how they made it, how did you stay on course? What gave you the strength? What got you to cross and make it through the finish line? They would probably say, oh, it was probably just some little melody, but the melody had such meaning. And maybe if we modernize it a little bit, they might say it was a song that I kept singing in my heart to remind me that this world is not my home, that I'm just passing through. So maybe it was, oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face. There we are going to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, I'm going to lift my voice. Why? Because cares are all past. And yes, I am home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I'm excited about getting ready to go to heaven to see my God. I'm excited about standing around his throne, crying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. There to praise him and worship him forever, ever and ever. Can I tell you, if your mentality is, well, you know, that worshiping thing's not for me now, but when I get to heaven, I'll worship him then. Honey, I'm telling you, if you can't worship him now, you ain't going to be able to worship him then. If you don't know how to open up your mouth and lift up your hands and let God have full control of your life, I promise you, you ain't going to be worshiping in his presence when you're dead and gone. But if you can just muster up enough strength, I know it's hard, I know it's tough, but I'm telling you, life is too short and eternity's too long. You need to make sure you're right with God. Where's your heart anchored? Where's your soul fixed? Oh. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and both steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Our problem in this generation is there's not a lot of people that are either sure or steadfast. They don't know if they're coming or they're going. They want the promise, but they don't want to spend time in prayer. They want chains to fall, but they can't fall in the presence of the Lord. I preach at our home church and I see pillars. I see pillars that I heard stories about. I heard how they were just on fire for God and how they helped and how they ministered and how they worshiped and how they were an inspiration. And now I wonder where the worship went and I wonder where the praise went. And every church has that. I'm not just isolating my church. Every church has that. And I tell you what, the pastor's heart, whether you know it or not, or whether you realize it or not, it cries for your soul because they know that there's better for you, and they know God has promises for you and blessings for you, but they know that God can give you exactly what you need in order to get across the finish line. Oh, my God. Oh, that we would be both sure and that we would be steadfast. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for I'm telling you, church, there's coming a due season. Well, we will reap if we faint not. There's a Holy Ghost revival getting ready to be poured out in Archfold. I believe that. I see the waters already stirring. I feel it in the air. I can almost taste it. It's so strong. There's going to be people coming in, and they're going to want what you have. They're going to want it. They're going to want it, but are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your soul anchored? Now, to address the issue, The issue that we probably rather not discuss because we rather dwell on the thought of heaven and we rather dwell on the thought of all of its splendor and all of its beauty. But I will tell you that your belief and thought in heaven alone does not mean that you will make it into heaven. Oh, I know it's not a popular message. Believe me, I know it's not a popular message because I've felt the pressure and the heat from saying things like that. It's not a popular message, but it's a message that I am mandated to preach because I care about your souls and your pastor cares about your souls. And he doesn't want you flirting with the line. It's not a matter of how close you can get to it, but he's trying to keep you as far away from it as possible. You can get bitter and you can get mad. He's trying to protect you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to make sure your soul is saved. I can say that because people get angry at me. You know what? I'd rather you err on the side of caution than whether you debate with me whether it's a heaven and hell issue. Because I know when I'm trying to protect you and draw the line in the sand, that line right there, I know that if you start flirting with it, that there's going to be other things that are going to start coming in because you start creeping the door open and you start kind of looking and something catches your eye. And before you know it, you're not on this side of the line. You're on this side of the line. We cannot afford to roll the dice and hope all is well. You better make sure you are well with the Lord and you are right with God and your soul is fixed and your mind is made up. When the scripture uses the word anchor, in the Greek, it's a heavy object attached to a boat by a rope or a chain. And dropped to the bottom of a body of water in order to prevent or restrict the movement of the boat, an anchor. The anchor was a popular symbol of the Christian faith, whether you realize that or not, even way back then in the early church. It symbolized hope for all believers and all of those that were pursuing after righteousness. The early church latched onto this as a form of hope, as a symbol of what is to come. And much like the cross, the anchor portrays our hope in Christ. Even the catacombs in Rome, if you would visit that, they are adorned with anchors, pictures of anchors, sculptures that they sculpted and took the time to sculpt that look like anchors. It is said and reported that at least 66 anchors can be found in the catacomb walls. As persecution and intensified in the catacombs became not only a place of burial, but also it became a place to where they hid. The depiction of the anchors, yes, they remain there today for all to see, both though at that time in persecution and in life, and yes, even in their death, they wanted to make a statement that they knew where their soul was anchored. So here it is, church. Here's what I've come to tell you this morning, that if the only thing blowing in your sails, the only wind that is blowing in your sails is the winds that come from this world, and your life then is going to resemble as if you were in the Bermuda Triangle, constantly lost, constantly confused, constantly thinking people are talking about you and constantly sowing discord and constantly getting into things that you ought not get into and constantly being easily pulled and easily swayed and easily pushed around, always longing for more. But it seems like even though you long for more, you're always coming up empty and you're always feeling depressed and you're always feeling alone and feeling depressed and oppressed because you have no clear sense of direction. Those winds, if those winds are blowing in your sails, maybe winds of lust, winds of anger, the winds of anger, winds of addiction, winds maybe of bitterness, and yes, maybe even winds of a bad attitude. I promise you that you are not being steered and led in the right direction that's going to get you to where you really want to be. You need to get that wind. That only wind, that one true wind. The Bible calls it that rushing mighty wind that filled the upper room. You need to get that wind. That wind needs to be blowing in your sails. That wind needs to be directing you and leading you and guiding you and filling your life every single day you wake up. Blow on me, O Holy Spirit. Guide me, O Holy God. Let me be holy, for you are holy. Let me be righteous, for you are righteous. We need to get that wind. For some here today, I'm telling you, it's time. It's long past time. You need to invite that wind to start blowing into your life and getting the back end of your sail so you can be turned around and be led back to where you know there is fullness of joy in His presence. And at His right hand, there are promises forevermore. A joy unspeakable, a peace that passes all understanding, a blessed hope. Compared to none other. Talking about heaven. I'm talking about making sure you're right. I'm talking about making sure that you know where you're going to spend eternity. You know how you used to pray. So let's start praying like you used to pray. You know how you used to worship? Don't worry. God's still alive and He's still well. And He's still waiting for you to call His name. And the minute you start calling His name, I promise you, it does not matter where you've been. It does not matter what you've fallen to. Does not matter what has messed you up and tripped you up and told you you're nothing and good for nothing and you're never going to make it. And there's nothing more beyond your life. I'm here to tell you that there is a God that still sits on the throne, and His name is Jesus, and He will still redeem you. He will still cleanse you. You have not gone so far to where the grace of God cannot reach. God can still wash you and cleanse you and use you. Stop letting the voices of this world convince you that you might as well get used to it, because this is how you're always going to live. This is what you're always going to deal with. These weights are always going to be a part of your life. I come against that in the name of Jesus. I know the father of lies, and His name is Satan. But I also know the God of life. And He said that if you'll just call out His name, if you just bury yourself in His presence, He said, I've got something for you. I've got something greater for you, because you'll drink of these wells and you'll never thirst again. I come to do a work in your life. I come to do a work that you thought couldn't be done in your life. I'm talking about a God who still sees a bright future ahead of for you in your life. And He sees a bright future. It is not the end of the season to where the goodness of God can't move. But you better make sure it is the end of the season to where you're going to turn your back on God and make it a new season today that you're going to step into and say, God, whatever it takes, I'm going to make sure I'm right with you. Whatever sacrifice I need to make, because this world is not my home. This world has nothing worth holding on to. It has nothing worth just indulging into where it just takes you and uses you and spits you out. Can I tell you that there is no end to the appetite of your flesh? If you follow the winds and desires and the lust of your flesh, I promise you it's going to lead you to hell. Again, a tough message, but I'm telling you, it's a message that needs to be heard, and a message that, you know what the problem is sometimes, I think, in churches? Is we stopped preaching about heaven. We stopped preaching about what this is all about. And we live in a society and a generation and a world to where we feel like we've got an app that will fix everything. We need an answer. Let's Google it. We want to get to this place or that place. Let's put it in our maps and it will give us the directions. We've gotten to a place to where this is secondary. That we don't need to listen to this anymore, because I've got something that can give me an instant answer. Can I tell you, instant gratification never strengthens anybody. But if you can get on your knees and start praying through some things, if you can start breaking through some things, if you can spend some more time at the altar and more time on your knees, I promise you, you'll have that strength that you need in order to get to where you want to be. Oh. I'm not anchored to anything in this world that offers me even the best of the best. I'm not going to anchor my soul here. I'm not going to get comfortable here. Doesn't matter how bright it shines. Does not matter how much it glistens or how much it gets my attention. Oh, we need it. Please hear this, preacher. Please hear me today. Hear me this morning. It does not matter how enticing it may be or how gratifying to this flesh it makes it feel. I'm here to tell you there is a sure promise. And you can hold me to this because it's in His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word is going to endure forever and ever and ever and ever. Something that doesn't fail. Something that has not let me down. Something that I can continue to go to for clear direction and clear guidance and clear strength and blessed hope and blessed assurance and a peace and a love and a joy and a boldness and clarity. I'm talking about getting right with God, getting your heart fixed, making your anchor just sure, making sure you know exactly where you're going, where you'll be on your final breath, where you know where you're going to step over the threshold when life is over for you. The Bible is very emphatic on that particular notion. You can't have one foot in and one foot out and know with certainty that you're anchored to the only living source of truth, because without having a relationship with Jesus, you're just fooling yourself to try to convince you that you're all right and that you're going to make it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, as I close. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I want somebody to come up, whoever plays the piano so well, so much better than what I would ever attempt or try to do. But I want you to play a happy song. I want you to play a song that has a little bit of tempo and a little bit of beat. Now, I'm not trying to just create the atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. We don't need no music in order for God to move. We don't need no smoke, no lights. We don't need any of that stuff in order to usher in the presence of God. We just need a heart that says, here I am, God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. As we stay standing, those that are standing now. But I want us to sing because I want us to sing excitedly, because we're going to sing about this place that we're getting ready to go, a place that we're anticipating, a place that we are so sure of in our soul that it causes us to come Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and prayer meeting after prayer meeting. And we find a place at the altar, it seems like, every service, and it increases our worship and it increases our praise and it gets us stirred up. Why? Because we're singing about a place that we're getting ready to go to. Listen, I know life is not fair. I know you go through some things to where the pain is so great. And I know it can bring confusion and it can bring heartache. And I understand. I've seen it one too many times to where there's that one weight that you have allowed to attach itself to your life, that you are longing and you are begging inside, you're screaming inside, God help me. God help me with this weight that I feel like I've lived with it so long that all I'm going to do is just live with it for the rest of my life. I'm here to tell you with a surety that that is the life of yesterday. And you're getting ready to experience a life that starts right now. Right now. Right now. You want to know why I'm preaching like this? It's because I just don't want to go to heaven, but I want you to go to heaven. And I want you in the back to go to heaven. You in the front to go to heaven. You and you and you and you. You've got to make it. I'm here to cheer you on. I'm in your corner. Pastors in your corner. The first ladies in your corner. Saying, come on, you can do it. Just a little bit more. Just a little while longer. Don't give up. Don't let down your worship. Don't let down your praise. Come on, that's it. I want you to start getting excited about it. And listen, if you don't know with a surety that when your life is over, you've breathed your last breath, if you don't know with a surety that heaven's going to be your home, then you better get to this altar and you better get some things right. And it starts by you just saying, here I am, Lord. I don't have much to offer, but here I am, God. And God's going to look at it. You might see a mess, but he sees a testimony. He sees a miracle waiting to happen. This is the year of miracles. This is the year of breakthrough. Don't wait another service. Don't go any more time. It's time to break through. It's time to break free. It's time to get your miracle. It's time to get right. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, the joy of the Lord is my strength. worship. It's not what I'm trying to do. But let me tell you about when heaven's on your mind. Let me tell you what happens when leaving is on your mind. When leaving's on your mind, knowing heaven is your home, when you have that mindset and that mentality, it affects how you worship.
That's right.
It affects whether you're going to show up on prayer night.
Right.
It affects whether you're going to show up and help around the church.
Right.
I'm not trying to kill the mood.
Right.
I'm trying to make sure that I solidify some things with you to help you understand that you've got to have a made-up mind.
Yes.
Life is too short. You don't have to look too hard to see that we're at the end of the race. But if you've got heaven on your mind, it's going to affect how you do some things.
Right.
And can I say one more thing? If you've got heaven on your mind, you ain't going to have a rotten bad attitude.
That's right.
And you ain't going to allow things to offend you that used to offend you and bother you like you used to be bothered. Because the kingdom is calling. And the kingdom still has a mission.
That's right.
And the church still has a duty. And those that are heaven-minded, those that have a made-up mind, we've got work to do.
Yay.
We've got souls to reach. We've got to make sure that they make heaven their home too. We're going to go right back into worship. It didn't kill the mood, don't worry.
Right.
We're going to go right back into it. But if you need a touch from the Lord, if you've never experienced His presence, the Bible says that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. The Bible says that you need to repent. Lord, here I am. Search me, O God.
Right.
Be baptized in Jesus' name. You go under the water, you come up. You got a new name written on your life, a new name written on your heart. All of the past is washed away. All of those sins are remembered no more. Why wouldn't you want something like that? Why wouldn't you want to step in the waters of baptism today?
Right.
Then the Bible gives another promise. A promise. God has never lost a battle.
Right.
He has never failed me with a given spoken word or with His written word. And He told me that if I call out His name, that if I ask Him to forgive me of my sins, if I've got a made up mind and I say, God, here I am, I'm all in. He said that He's going to fill me with His presence. If you have yet to be filled with the presence of God, let me just share briefly. The Bible says it's like rivers of living water flowing out of you. When you start calling on the name of Jesus, you're going to start feeling an unction in your stomach. Something that you've never felt before. Something you've never experienced before. Because nothing can compare to the presence and the touch of God. He's doing a work. He's cleansing the temple. He's cleansing your body. He's cleansing that flesh. And He's saying, I want to abide in your life now. I want to help you make decisions. I want to make sure I'm the God of your life. And you're going to feel something stirring and something just wanting to be poured out. That's when you let God do what only God can do. Let Him pour out of you rivers of living water. And it's going to come out of your mouth. And it's going to be a different type of praise. It's going to be a different form of worship. It's going to be a communication in a language that only you and God can communicate with. And it's going to be an unknown tongue. But let God have control and speak with that new tongue. Let the rivers of living water just flow out of you. So I invite you. And don't worry, people aren't going to talk about you. They're not going to look at you sideways. Because we're trying to get to the same place that we want you to get to. So guess what? You're my brother and you're my sister. We're in it to win it. We're in it to win it. We're going to get through it through thick and thin. But guess what? We're going to get through it. It might be difficult at times, but we're going to make it. It might be hard at times, but we're going to make it. I think right now we're building a foundation to where 2026 is going to explode with those miracles that have been promised. With an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, with souls coming in hungering for those living waters to flow out of them. So if you want that experience. I want you to make your way up. There's people around here that are not going to pray about you, but they're going to pray for you because they love you. Because guess what? Such were some of us. But now we've been washed. But now we've been cleansed. So let's start. Let's get right back into that song. Let's continue to celebrate. But let's celebrate the opportunity that's about ready to happen right now with a new soul, with a new life, with a new commitment. Can we do that? Come on, praise Him. Let's worship Him. Come on, you got heaven on your mind? Your worship will show it.
Shame to praise the Lord. Let me see you. Praise like he did it.